So good morning, everybody. Thank you very much for being here. Sorry to those of you that had to wait for our season-ending meetings. I know we got a little long there. It was also great discussion, and it was really a great opportunity for us to interact with our players, get a sense of their feeling of where we are as a group. Their level of disappointment in our results is significant. And I think to a man, they all believe that if we could have started a new season tomorrow, we would have had a much better run together. I think spiritually, they're very connected to each other and to the mission of improving and getting better, which is what I expect from everybody in this organization. From ownership on down, we are all committed to making enormous strides to improve. And that's what myself and my staff will be doing today and tomorrow. It's what I know that Dan, Nate, and Jeff are in the process of doing from an ownership standpoint and as they do their review, and I'd be very disappointed if they weren't. This fan base deserves and demands that we deliver a better product, and we are going to do that. And everything that we do is geared towards that. The one takeaway from those meetings that I found very encouraging is that everybody that walked out of here had an awful lot of good things to say about this organization, this ownership group, and the way they're cared for as players. All of the support staff that's gathered around here now is very well thought of. This organization goes to unbelievable lengths to take care of players, and they recognize and appreciate that. The veterans that have been here and have been in other organizations have shared that with the younger players who haven't been anywhere else. And so I think people walk out of here with a real understanding of who this organization intends to be and a heightened sense of urgency about what we need to achieve. So with that, I'd take any questions you have.
Hey, Griff, how are you?
Good.
Just wondering what your situation is. Have you spoken to Dan about the interim tag being removed? What is your future here with your organization?
So obviously we've had a lot of dialogue moving forward since February. And I feel very confident that ownership and myself will be moving in the same direction. But I also don't need to hear anything from them to know that tomorrow I need to get better. So from a timing perspective, it's irrelevant to me. I don't feel a great sense of wonder right now. I know what the mission is, and he doesn't need to tell me that.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mary.
Piggybacking on that, do you have any sense of Mike Brown's situation? Will you be making that call? Will Dan be making that call? Can you give us any insight on when or what might happen on that front?
So we're all under review. Everyone in this organization is under review. And in terms of timing and who will be making that call, we're going to get together and collectively we're going to talk about our future and our vision of that future and where we need to go. And if we're all on the same page, I see no reason why this group can't be successful. And if we're not, we need to make whatever changes put us on the right page. And I know that's what's going to happen.
David, as you talked with all the players and you looked at your time as GM and also going back to the beginning of the season, where's the area of weakness for this team that you would like to address if you're retained as the general manager?
Well, results for one. I think we've been in something that maybe would best be described as asset accumulation mode. And what I'd like to see us be in is targeted acquisition mode. We need to take the steps we need to get better. We have the asset value on this roster in terms of veterans that are well thought of, young players that are extremely talented. Draft picks into the future, our current draft pick, cap space, an owner that will spend money and stop at nothing to succeed. We have the things we need to be attractive while we go look for the right pieces. And so if anything that I would cite as something that's gone wrong, it'd be our results. And beyond that, I think there's some real specific things we need to do as a group. Things that you're going to ask several questions about several players, and so I'd give you some overarching thoughts. We need to be bigger. We need to be much smarter as a team. Our basketball IQ needs to improve. Our shooting needs to improve. I feel strongly that our toughness needs to improve. Those are things that we need to address all within the confines of fit. There is no isolated one-person decision that's made. They're all interconnected. And so as we start to build the team moving forward and look at those pieces that are the high-value targets, they're going to have some combination of those things.
David, if someone would have woke up out of a coma for the last night, the last game of the season, and saw the way the fans were reacting to a team that was, you know, understandably on their way to their fourth straight lottery, to what do you speak to that fan support and why they continue to keep showing up even though things are the way they are?
So I've actually talked a lot about this, and our staff has talked a lot about this. I've never seen anything like this fan base consistently, and it's why we feel such an incredible sense of urgency. They've been that way consistently throughout this process. As many of you will recall, when we were going through the process of losing a few games in a row, our first year together, we were selling games out with people ready to watch us get a win. This fan base deserves a radically better product. And the one thing that I would say also about that night, our people that handle game ops, Tracy Merrick and her people, and the game presentation staff in this organization are recognized league-wide as the very best in the NBA for a reason. And I think fans felt the vibe in that building very much because of the opportunity that our business side has given all of those people. And we've got great synergy now between business and basketball we didn't have before. I'm really excited about building with that group. I think we've got some great opportunity there, and that's good for our fans as well.
Griff, we're heading towards the third season of trying to figure out whether Kyrie and Deion can play together and be successful. What is your take on not only their relationship, but how they can maybe grow and develop as we move ahead?
So relative to their relationship, I have no qualms at all telling you that they're fine. In terms of their fit on the court, I think you've seen flashes of them being very, very good together. I think what you've seen is that they're part of some of our very best lineups together. But those lineups require spacing and shooting to play with them. They're two ball dominant drive and kick creators. And that requires an open floor, and it requires shooting. And we need more of those things. And it also requires the basketball IQ to play off of those players. This is not something that's done in a vacuum. It's not the two of them. It's not about their fit. It's about our fit. And so I think it's too easy to look at them and to blame either one of them. That's not what's gone wrong here. It's a collective thing.
Specific to this year, do you feel like Kyrie has made the kind of growth you would hope for a third-year player?
I do. And I think he's made the strides he's needed to make in terms of his openness to realizing his role as a leader. He's 22 years old. We have to have very realistic expectations for him. And I think what he's done a very good job of is opening himself up to the team and to trusting more. You see how good he can be when he plays with USA Basketball, when he trusts everyone around him. That's a difficult process when you're a young kid. And I feel like he's made really good strides in that area, and I know our staff does as well.
So, following up then, has a decision made, or where is the discussion about whether he would be offered a max extension? Is that down the road based on all the other discussions that are made, and sort of what do you do while you're sort of fighting your time to find out what's going on between here and
Well, no one's biding any time, I know that. But I do think that because those discussions are set up in the system to take place post July 1, that's when they're going to take place. There's a lot of conversation that goes into this. And the kinds of offers that people talk about you making a player, those aren't things that are decisions made in a vacuum. And they're not things that are done without talking to those players and really understanding where their heart and minds and spirits are. And that's something that's going to be really important to me as we move forward. I think Kyrie is a player who is very much engaged in this organization, and he's engaged in getting better. And we'll go from there.
Griff, why aren't we hearing from Dan today? I mean, you're in kind of an awkward situation of we're not sure of your future. You don't seem to be entirely sure of your future. So what feedback have you gotten from Dan, and why isn't he addressing some of these things?
For one thing, he doesn't need to address it. Relative to me and relative to our staff, we all know what the charge is here. Again, I didn't show up to work today wondering what had to happen. I know what has to happen. Dan's not addressing you all now because I know that they're in the process of trying to make us better. and they're going to do the things that they need to do to be comfortable with the direction we're heading in. And so I would expect, and I know that they're spending all of their time doing that. And he'll address everybody when he has something that he feels confident enough to say. But until that time, we don't need to hear a whole lot from him. We know what the charge is.
Dave, obviously you guys were around 500. What, after you got the job, what worked? Where did you see that worked during that, since you became the acting general manager?
It certainly wasn't the plays I was diagramming. You know, I think what we did a better job of was playing with better spirit. I think we played for each other better. You know, when I came in front of all of you before, I think one of the things that was said was that I have the feel of a psychologist. You know, I think guys believe in each other more now. I think they surrendered to the system a little bit more. And again, up to that point, we had given a lot of games away where we had built big leads collectively. And then we gave them away individually, standing around watching people go to work. And I think we did a much better job the second half of the season, despite injuries, actually. And maybe you could argue that the injuries helped us, frankly. But I think we did a really good job of playing together consistently. And so if there's a takeaway for me in that situation, that's what's encouraging. But I didn't get into this for 17 and 16, and neither did anybody else. That's not what we're here for. It's not about that for us. We got a lot of work to do.
What do you see? What do you see with Dang as a mentoring role? Do you think there's a chance he will stay? And also, you actually, you know, despite everything, had a chance. How disappointing was the Atlanta game late in the season?
So let me address the Atlanta game. The Atlanta game was really disappointing because it was reverting to our old form of being selfish. It was reverting to our form of versus pressure, not trusting each other. So that was disappointing. And at the same time, we learned an awful lot down the stretch. I mean, I don't think you can underestimate how important it is for a team like ours to learn about itself in that period of time. We played meaningful games for the first time in many of their careers. So this is the first time we really had a chance to learn some of the things we learned. So I'm disappointed in the outcome. I'm not disappointed in the knowledge we gained. Relative to your question about Luau, I would say Luau and Spencer and CJ all leave here feeling incredibly good about their time in this organization. I believe that very strongly from our conversations with them. None of these things are done in a vacuum. There are many, many, many scenarios in which it makes perfect sense to have that veteran leadership be back. And I know he's open to that possibility as well.
Bit of a hypothetical, but if it was determined that the basketball president type were going to be brought in here, how would you feel about working under those conditions?
So the hypothetical thing, we could do this a lot. There's no reason to engage. There's no reason to engage in that. There's no reason for me to guess at anything like that. And frankly, there's no reason for me to believe that anything has to change in that way either. We have an opportunity to be very good together and to make this what it needs to be. And if Dan and his ownership group believe there's another way to make this a better situation, I expect them to act on it. And I would be disappointed if they don't.
David, if you've not been formally given the general manager's title, you talk about preparing to make this a better basketball team. How do you move forward in your position if, as of this moment, maybe you don't have unilateral authority to make those big decisions? And have you been given a timetable when you'll find out if you get that authority?
So to some degree, it's funny, but possession's 9/10, right? So I'm moving forward because it's what I do. It's what myself and my staff do. We've got a lot of people here. I told you before, I only represent the passion of all of the people that work in this building, and many of them are standing here right now. We're going to keep doing that. In terms of the discussions between Dan and I and the timing of when those things happened, if I knew, I wouldn't tell you. So we're going to keep getting better every day. That's really all I can tell you, and I know I come back to that. But there's no reason for me to do anything different. You know, it's funny, and I can see some people here that work here, they understand this too. We know what we're supposed to do. So it's not like I come in and go, gosh, I wonder if I have the job today. It doesn't work like that. So we're going to do what we do.
David, your name has been rumored to possibly be on lists for other teams. Would you prefer to stay here as the Cavaliers general manager, or are you considering other options if those rumors are true?
So, again, you know, this goes along with the hypothetical. I can tell you this, and this is a really, really big focus for our organization moving forward. You're either all the way in or you're all the way out, and there's no in between. You declare a side. I'm all the way in. This is where I want to be. It's the organization I believe in. So that's how I see it. And rumors and all of those other things have nothing to do with me.
Chris, David, what would you say? Dan would say, explain to me why I should give you the job. How would you sell yourself?
It's a great question. I think the way I would sell myself is the things that I'm doing now. You know, I would sell the fact that we know how to get better. I would sell the vision I have of the organization. I would sell my faith in the people that work here, and I would sell my faith in our players and our ability to improve. And I've been here long enough to know the mistakes that have been made, and I've been here long enough to know the positives we have. And I'm not going to campaign. I'm not running for mayor. I understand what we need to do to get better. And if Dan and his ownership group are of that mindset, we're going to get better together. And if they're not, they're going to do what they're comfortable with, and that's what I would want them to do.
Because, David, it can't be kind of more of the same.
Clearly not. And again, as I said, our results are totally unacceptable, period. That there's nobody that's comfortable with that. There's nobody going home today thinking that it's fine that we went through asset accumulation mode and missed the playoffs 4 years in a row. Nobody's comfortable with that. So, again, why would he give me the job? Because he believes I can make us better.
Griff, what kind of feedback did you get from the players on the job that Mike and his staff did? On the way out, Dion and Kyrie and a couple other guys were very supportive of Mike, and it seemed like they almost sensed maybe we should have listened to him earlier in the season and this wouldn't have happened. What kind of feedback did you get from them?
We got a lot of feedback from guys that their spirit is in the right place relative to the collective. I think all of our players recognize that we do have some fit issues, and so they all spoke to that. And I think they spoke to the way that we handle those things. We had really insightful players, and we had really insightful comments. I didn't come out of those meetings feeling any stronger or any less positive about anybody here. What I came out of those meetings with was a heightened sense of urgency, because our players have that. They all expect to roll the ball out there right now, tomorrow, and be radically better. And that's what I expect of us.
Dave, you mentioned a couple of games that were just given away, and then there were some other games that were theoretically over before they started. With the coach at the end of the game not understanding why that kind of effort was given, at what point or how much value do you put on the coach in that situation versus the player?
You know, I think ultimately I put a lot on the collective. You know, I put a lot on the fit of the group. And so I'd like to see us move in a direction where we improve our ability to make the right basketball decision at the right time. I think we need to improve a lot of things. Our mental toughness and our basketball IQ are a big part of that. So I think I put the vast majority of the focus on improving us in that area. There is no isolated blame of any kind. It's the collective. And so right now the collective isn't working, and so we need to make it work.
You kind of touched on it in several different answers. You talked about the fans and how great they are, but what would your message be today of why you fully believe they should believe? I mean, why do they think that this organization is finally going to turn it around?
I think everything I said in the opening statement is probably why I believe that. We have everything we need to shift from acquiring assets to acquiring the right assets. We have everything we need. We have cap space, we have incredible flexibility, we have incredible draft picks, we have great young talent, we have veteran pieces that can further the cause for a team at any status in their building. And what we have is incredible passion here. We've got an organization that is absolutely unbelievable in terms of its bandwidth and what ownership will allow us to do. This is a place that is going to be radically successful, and we don't have any impediments to success. And my charge right now is to take us in a much more clear direction in terms of achieving those things. And we can, and we will. You know, it's one thing to be landlocked financially and have no assets and to feel like, gosh, we're just banging our heads against the wall to get better every day. We have kids we got to watch improve every single day. And that's a really rare thing in the NBA. And so to have that against the backdrop of enough cap space to go do something significant, either from a trade or a free agent situation, as a fan, that's all you can want. There's really nothing that could be done to a basketball team to improve it that we are not capable of doing. It's as simple as that.
David, this draft has been touted as one of the top drafts in recent years, and I'm sure you and your staff have studied it all season long. That just your thoughts, you guys, I think, are ninth as far as the ping pong balls, and if Nick gets lucky, he knows maybe higher. How good is this draft, and if you're at nine, do you think you can get an impact player there?
So Nick's bow tie notwithstanding, if we're at nine, we do feel like there's talent there. We feel like there's talent that people are going to want as well. You know, we're not in a situation where we're married to the idea of bringing in another young player. You know, it's time for us to start targeting the right fit. And if the player at nine fits us and radically advances the bar in the short term, then we're going to embrace that player. And if the player sitting there at nine is not the player that's going to put us in the best position, then we're going to need to do what we have to do. You know, you can't let hope on the draft dictate what you do. You have to act on the knowledge that we've gained. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to start to build in a very direct manner. And sometimes I think we put too much into the guessing game of the draft, and we won't be guessing.
Is this that strong, this draft?
It's fairly strong. It's, you know, first of all, everyone hasn't gotten in it, so we really don't know how strong it is yet. It's fairly strong, but I think you make a big mistake when you look at the draft is finding saviors. I don't think any draft is necessarily that, any more so than any other. You know, drafts require that you get lucky sometimes, more so than that you're good. So.
David, how do you feel about the job Mike Brown did?
So I think our coach did, and our coaching staff did a very good job. In terms of the defensive side of the ball, we went from 30th to 12th in defensive field goal percentage. I think the second half of the season, we made some real strides offensively, where we were better at moving bodies and ball. And at the same time, I know every one of his staff is presently engaged in the process of making us better. And I expect that that's how they're going to feel. I know they're not satisfied with our results either. And again, as I said when I opened up, we're all under review. We all need to get better, period.
David, what are your thoughts about Anthony Bennett, the year that he went through, and as you look forward for him, what he'll be doing this offseason, and what role do you see him at when things begin next fall?
So Anthony was barely healthy enough to even experience what I would call a traditional rookie season. I know he's chomping at the bit to get back out there. He worked incredibly hard from a rehab perspective to be able to play that final game of the season. I think he's looking at this as an opportunity to surprise people. And I think he's looking at it as an opportunity to establish himself in this league. The kid's excited, and I'm excited for him. It's an awful lot of talent to have moving in the right direction and to have highly motivated, and that's where he is. Sergey's in exactly the same space, frankly. They both know they have an awful lot of work to do, and I think they're excited about showing what they're made of, and they've been putting in a lot of work to achieve that. So I suspect you'll see radically better versions of them, but I also think it's important to understand that they're really young and they're growing, and the idea behind drafting each of them was that they were very high upside players, and we're not looking at them as where are they in August of this year. We're looking at them as where are they as they advance our cause to be a sustained playoff team. And we feel very strongly about both of them that way.
One more, Mary.
Can you give us a ballpark figure on July 1st where you are with regards to the salary cap? I know some things could happen.
A ballpark figure. So we could have as much as $26 million of cap space pretty easily without doing too much gyrating. And we could create more as well. We have plenty of space to do anything that we would need to do.
Thank you.